The following service from First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, was recorded on August 12, 2018. For more information about our church, visit us online at fbc-sav.org. We hope you enjoy the service.
Good morning, and welcome to a beautiful Savannah Sunday, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost here at First Baptist Church of Savannah. It is good to see you here. If you are a guest with us from out of town, it is good to have you in this place this morning, and we hope that you have a wonderful time of worship with us. If you are a guest, we've got some guest cards in the pew in front of you, and if you don't mind filling those out, that would be awesome. It helps us get to know you a little bit better and get to send some things, some information about us and who we are. Also, if you are someone who is a part of this family, a part of this community, the people who we walk through life together with, it is good to see you in this place. And may we all worship together now and join me for this call to worship. The world says there is not enough. The world says there is too much need. The world has too many problems. There is too much to be done. The world is too divided. There are too many wars and too much violence. There is just too much to think about. It would be easier to think about ourselves. Christ calls us to love others as we love ourselves. And in Christ's love, we know that faith surpasses all understanding. We are not alone.
Please bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, bread of life, Holy Spirit, we gather according to your guiding impulse to worship you, to offer you our prayers of thanksgiving, to celebrate our love for you through hymns of rejoicing, and to secure for us your blessings of eternal life. Come, Father, receive our adoration and praise. Amen.
Join with me as we affirm our faith together. We believe in the Creator, compassionate and wise, who shapes the world and all that is in it, who gives life and cradles it lovingly. We believe in the Redeemer, righteous and just, who liberates all people from tyranny and sin, who calls us to repentance and offers forgiveness. We believe in the Sustainer, comforting and near, who transforms the lives of God's people, who nurtures faith and evokes commitment. We believe in God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, who calls us to be a community of love and grace, and who wills that God's children live together in peace.
There. Good morning. It's nice to see a good crowd today. Why don't you come on over here? That works. Great. Well, I hope some of you started school this week, right?
I did.
Yeah? Yeah, and I start and I start school tomorrow too. You know, I'm a college professor. I teach at Armstrong, but that counts too. One of the things that I have been doing this summer is genealogy. Is that a word you know? What's it mean, Katie? That I learn about genies. Well, no, not quite. Yes, ma'am? The history of the world, most specifically, the history of my family. You see, I know about my parents, and I was lucky because I got to know all four of my grandparents, and I even knew one of my great-grandmothers. She was still alive when I was small, and I got to know her a little bit. But beyond that, I really didn't know a whole lot about my family. And so I started searching back, and it has been really interesting. I have been learning about places my family came from. I learned that a Hendrix, that's my last name, came to colonial Pennsylvania and Delaware. They were kind of the same place at the time, almost 400 years ago. And that got me thinking. And the reason it got me thinking is because this week we've been talking to a lot of people about our church. And they have asked us questions about our church. And one of the questions that often comes up is, how is it that we have such a sense of family at this church? And I didn't really have a good answer for that, but I know it's true. This morning, I got to do something very special. The Sebastians are out of town playing with their grandson, and so Mr. Sebastian asked me if I would teach the friendship class. And that meant that I got to teach people who are mostly a little older than I am. One of them is almost 100 years old. And right now, I'm getting to talk to you guys, some of our youngest people. That range from 99 years old to somebody who's not even quite one yet, I don't think. We are a church family. We get to do things with different ages and different people. We get to know each other. Sometimes I don't see any of you except for one day a week, but that's special because you're important to me. You ask me questions. You ask advice. And I get to ask questions and ask advice. It's a very, very special place. So we have really at least two families. You've got your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad, other people. But you also have your church family. And I want you to never forget that. Now, Friday night, something special is going to happen. Do you all know what that is? What? It's movie night. And do you know what movie we're going to be seeing? Coco. Coco is a movie about family. And it's about ancestors, kind of the stuff that I've been doing lately. It's going to be a special time, and I hope that each and every one of you gets to make it, because we will have people your age here, we will have people who are much older like me, and believe it or not, there will be people who are even older than me here. Because never forget, we all have a church family. Exactly right. Would you play with me, pray with me? We can play later. Let's pray right now. God, bless all of these children. Bless all of your children in this place, whether they are one or 99. Remember that we are one family, your family. Help us to never forget that. Help us to never challenge each other. Help us to never forget to love one another. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Our first lesson today comes from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him. This ends our first lesson.
Our second lesson today comes from Ephesians, starting with chapter 4, verse 25, and ending with chapter 5, verse 2. So then, put away falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here ends the second lesson.
Our third lesson and the gospel lesson is from John, the 6th chapter, verse 35, and then verses 41 through 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He or she who comes to me will never go hungry, and they who believe in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a person may eat and never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, may these words resonate within us as we see to understand exactly what it is that we must consume in order to have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for your word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Bread in all its various forms and shapes and flavors is the essential and sometimes the only staple in meals across the world. The staff of life. With a little flour and a little water or oil, a person can be sustained for a long time. Without it, some would perish. Knowing its ubiquitous nature, it is no wonder that Jesus was used bread as a foundation for penetrating theological discourse. It all began with grumbling, that pernicious, critical whisper that starts with two or three and reaches a crescendo when all join in. It happens in churches. It happens in business. And it happens in the assembly of God's chosen. It all started as recorded in Exodus 16. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into this desert to serve this entire assembly to death." The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, the flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." The people called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. 14 centuries later, the grumbling thread is heard once again. In John 6:35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me," that is the soul who takes the first step, "will never, never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never, never be thirsty." And verse 41 follows with these words, "At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" Of course, the people found that to be unbelievable. In verse 42, they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Question, question, grumble, grumble. And they're right. They knew Jesus as a little boy growing up. They saw him playing in the dirt with the other kids. They witnessed him helping Joseph in his carpenter's shop. They watched him as he obediently helped his mother with the chores around the house. Some of the older neighbors would have remembered how worried Mary and Joseph were when they left the temple that day and couldn't find him. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" the adolescent Jesus said. Yeah, really. Jesus had just fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and 12 baskets of barley loaves were left over. The fish aren't mentioned. Apparently, Jesus didn't like leftover fish either. And the crowd is abuzz with bewilderment. How can he say, "I came down from heaven"? It was hard to take in. How would we react if someone stood on a bench in Chippewa Square handing out bread from 2 Smart Cookies and declared, "I am the bread of life"? Jesus challenges them. "You people only followed me across the lake because you wanted bread." The people knew about the necessity of baking bread every single day. It was routine work, day in and day out, obtaining and measuring out the flour, mixing in the water or oil, forming little patties and baking them on a hot rock or on an earthenware pot inverted over a fire, enough for each adult to have the usual daily ration of 3 loaves. Not loaves as we know them, but flat, puffy, biscuit-like rounds, somewhat like pita bread that we know today. Sure, follow Jesus and get more bread. No more mixing and no more baking. Here Jesus is offering himself in the place of the loaves and the fishes that they came looking for. Ultimately, he's helping the crowd of mixed allegiance to discern the difference between their physical needs and their spiritual needs. And so Jesus reminds us, we may eat the bread which gives life to our mortal bodies, but we must consume the sacrificial bread of Christ to feed our spiritual bodies. The manna in heaven sustained people for a time, but they eventually died. The bread which comes down from heaven, namely Jesus Christ, leads the believer at the end of his mortal life through an open door leading to life everlasting. We experience physical death, to be sure, but our spiritual being advances towards the presence of Almighty God and glorifies Jesus Christ. I have attended the death of literally hundreds of people over the course of 35 years of ministry. And one thing stands very clear to me. Those who are believers in Jesus Christ, those who have been faithful to him over the course of their lives, have a very quiet and peaceful death. Those who have rejected him, those who have never accepted him, have a troubling, painful, hopeless death. Absorbing the body of Christ into our own, consuming his will, his wisdom, and his way, provides for us life after life and a crown of glory. To the puzzled and disappointed and grumbling, Jesus offers a further word of encouragement. It's a point we often miss. In verse 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him or her up at the last day." The word "draw" here means to pull in like a net. In other words, God is an active participant in leading people to Christ. It is God who opens squeezed shut eyes. It is God who softens stiff resistance. It is God who delivers the sin-sick soul to eternal salvation. Furthermore, Jesus says, they will all be taught by God, referencing Isaiah 54:13. Jesus says that those who hear God's voice and respond will inevitably come to Him. As we exercise our evangelistic responsibility as a church and as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, it's encouraging to know that someone with whom we feel led to share our Christian journey has already been prepared by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he or she will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This bread is my flesh prompts the doctrine of transubstantiation for the Catholic, consubstantiation for the Lutheran, and an ordinance to be seriously celebrated for Baptists, all of whom take the words of Jesus seriously and absorb His life and teaching into their lives. As you heard this morning, Ephesians 5:1-2 reminds us, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus devoted His few short years of ministry to helping the world to see God and to believe God's indescribable love, His ultimate humility, and willingness to die that we might have the gift of bread, heavenly bread, bread everlasting. At the commencement of Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist proclaimed, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. At the end of His ministry, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, the one who comes to save and to serve, we praise you for your word that leaps from the page. We praise you for the word that tastes as sweet as honey. We praise you for your presence that touches us, blesses us, and leads us so gently by the hand into eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen. Our call to prayer is from Psalm 5. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor that will compass them as with a shield. Let us pray silently. My Father and my Lord, from you only, O Lord, do I search for miracles. From you only do I seek comfort for the sick and the challenged. From you only do I expect your guiding spirit to imbue the minds of your people with wisdom and discernment. From you only do I know that the working out of your divine will may bring strength to our congregation and a renewed spirit of expectation and promise. Lord, the future of this church rests not only in these pews, but also on the men and women who have withdrawn for a time, awaiting the outcome of a process of planning and searching. Bless those, O Lord, who have remained steadfast, and may they know the fulfillment of their hopes and dreams. Within these hallowed walls, resonate the echoes of the past, hundreds of voices singing, scores of voices lifted in prayer, and dozens of speakers telling forth the truth of your gospel. As benefactors of their faithfulness, we are thankful and join them in preserving our past and expanding our future. Hold us close, Lord, and unfold your miracle in our midst. Father, indeed, we live in an unsettled land with unrestrained leadership and pronouncements we often doubt. Stir up within our people honesty, integrity, dependability, circumspection, fairness, and truth. Lead us, Lord. Lead our leaders. Lead our people. For the good people of this congregation, for their faithfulness and their friendship, for their blessings, Lord, I give you thanks. Hear us as together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Freely we have received, and thus freely we give grace upon grace. And so now, let us express our love and appreciation to God by giving with gracious hearts a piece of the gifts God has given us. Let's all pray together. Lord, you are the bread of heaven, giving life to the world. Continue to fill our emptiness with your goodness and our weakness with your strength. Take and use these gifts to further your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
In a moment, we're going to sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." And as you sing that hymn, I pray that you will allow the words to flow over you, and indeed allow the Holy Spirit of the Lord present in this room even now, and in the words you sing, to touch you and bless you and strengthen your life in Christ as his disciples.
Be seated for a moment. Just a few announcements. Again, welcome to those who are guests with us today. Let people say hello to you and give you a good First Baptist welcome. A few announcements for this week. We've already had a great promo for church family movie night on Friday. We are gathering together, and that is for the entire church family. And as Chris said earlier, we're watching the movie Coco, which is a fantastic movie about family. Bring your tissues if you are like me and wanting to get a little, you know, misty-eyed at the end of that movie, because you might need them. It's really great. We'll have some good food and some good time together. Also, just a programming note, for this past summer, the women of FBC have been doing yoga on Monday, and that has been a wonderful time for them, heard great things, but our instructor is taking some classes this fall and taking them on Monday, and so even though the calendar says that we will have yoga tomorrow night, we will not have yoga tomorrow night or any of the rest of the Mondays till further notice. But if we do that again, we will certainly let you know. This Sunday, today, was Dr. McCann's last time to preach with us, and next week will be his last Sunday with us. And so we will, after church, have a special recognition for him at our third Sunday luncheon to thank him for the work that he has done here and to give a proper thank you. All right. Also want to say thank you for the hymns today. Jenny Halpin picked those out. She was the winner on bingo night of being able to have a Sunday where she picked out the hymns. And so all of those hymns today were brought to you by one Jenny Halpin. And so thank you, Jenny, for picking out some great hymns today. I think that's it. So if we can, stand for the pastoral benediction and the response.
Now, next Sunday I will be here, but Josh and I are trading places. I'm going to be the co-liturgist, and he's going to be preaching, and I'm looking forward to that. Let me just say a word or two. I will not see all of you next Sunday, but this year has moved by with excruciating speed. It's moved awfully fast, and it's been a time of joy and healing for, I think, our congregation, and certainly for me with the physical problems I brought with me, not knowing how serious they were. But things do get better, and time heals all wounds, and we just hope for better days to come. My prayer is a blessing for all of you, and let my benediction be a prayer. Pray with me. Gracious Lord and Father of us all, you've drawn us together for a short time, but a time that has been meaningful in each of our lives, and we have been blessed. Dismiss us now into your care and keeping, and may every day resound with blessed voices lifted to you in praise for all that you have done for us. Thank you, bread of heaven. Amen.
listening to a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah. We also invite you to worship with us in person each Sunday at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. All are welcome.